Well, we are in week 5 of our More Than a Conqueror series, The Power to Overcome. We've talked about a lot of ways that we can become more than conquerors. And this week, we're going to be talking about the power of a connected church. The power of a connected church. There is power in being connected and plugged in to the body of Christ. And how do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Connect groups. Connect groups aren't just a way to get plugged in or a way to get connected. It really is the way. And I know sometimes it's hard when the culture says that we don't need to be connected. As long as we come and we attend and we serve occasionally, that's good enough. But I'm telling you, it's not. It's not for us. It's not for our benefit. It's for your benefit. And so biblically and practically, we want to lay out a few points that shows you the benefits of being connected and the biblical call to be connected. And so our first point today is going to be connection. Connect groups create connection. Now, I know a lot of you are having this thought process of, well, I don't know if I really connect or belong or feel like I could join one of those groups. Well, guess what? We would love for you to start a group. Because if you don't have one that you don't feel like you can fit in, there's always a group that can be created. There's this thing called common ground. And everybody can find common ground. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, it says, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. Now, it could be something as simple as going to lunch with somebody. Sharing your favorite restaurant, be like, hey man, these tacos are insane. You got to come join me for lunch and check them out. There's common ground because everybody likes tacos, right? I like them a little too much. Me and Marcus, we always have these Taco Tuesday dates, man. And it's awesome, man. So I encourage you, just find common ground somewhere, somehow, to get connected and open up the lines of communication. And connect groups are a way that you can do that. So common ground is one of our first points there. The second one is fellowship. Connect groups create fellowship. Now, fellowship is more than just a Sunday morning. We come in and we do an awesome job at coming in on Sunday mornings and, you know, we greet people and we say, hey, man, I missed you this week. I'm glad you're here. I hope you're doing well. I've been praying for you and hope to see you next week. But it's like what happens Monday through Saturday? We are disconnected and so much happens Monday through Saturday in our daily lives. I mean, we've had people that have lost jobs. A family member has gone through surgery, a major breakdown on the farm. And sometimes we don't know about it until it's too late. And it's not because they don't share with us, and that's sometimes the case. But the bigger problem is that we're not connected enough to know when there's a problem. There's a disconnect and there's not enough fellowship for us to know when somebody's struggling. And so connect groups do that. Acts 2:42 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. There's a lot to pack in here, but when we hang out together, we call eating fellowship. So anytime you share a meal, even if it's just inviting somebody over to your home, going out, or going over to their place, there's fellowship that happens. And food is another common ground. And it just opens up lines of communication to start talking about, hey, how are you doing? Okay. No, I mean, how are you really doing? How's life going? You know, is there anything that I can help with, or is there any way I can pray for you? That's fellowship. And connect groups are a big part of that. The second one is the body of Christ. Connect groups help us connect to the body of Christ, a.k.a. the church, okay? Colossians 1:18 says, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. And 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. We are the church. This is just a building. This building is just a place where we meet. There's four walls in here, but it doesn't contain Christ. We are the body of Christ. We become the hands and the feet and the practicality that comes with the body of Christ, that we have the opportunity to go and build the kingdom. We have the opportunity to go and serve and do and connect. And so the Bible has a really cool illustration. We do this through joints and ligaments. I find it pretty awesome that around 60 years or so after Christ's death, in Colossians 2:19, they speak directly to this. It's, "For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it." I mean, I'm sure they probably had some pretty crude surgeries back in the Bible times. They definitely didn't have all the science and technology that we have today. But divinely inspired, they knew how important joints and ligaments were to the body. Take the human knee, for example. The human knee is probably one of the most complex, if not the most complex, joint in our entire body. Now, I can tell you one thing. If you know anybody that has struggled with knee issues, one of these little tendons go out, it creates a huge problem. It may be a small tendon, like that little ACL right there in the middle. That's a pretty important one, however small it is. But joints are two bones that connect together at a meeting point, okay? But the ligaments are what keep it together. The ligaments are there for a reason. The joints are where they connect, but the ligaments are strong bands of tissue that keep the knee from excess movement or being dislocated, and they provide stability and control. And they allow for opportunity for that knee to have perfect joint health and proper biomechanics. That means it moves the way it should. It doesn't get off track. See, we are the joints, and we're connected, but the ligaments, those are connect groups. The connect groups are what helps keep us together and keep us on track. They help create stability and a spiritual health, that joint health that keeps us moving on track and not become dislocated. Because when we become dislocated, there's injury that happens. So when we separate ourselves or we're in a place that we shouldn't be, we have more opportunity for injury to happen. We don't have that support system. You tracking with me? The next thing is healing. Connect groups provide healing. James 5:16 is very straightforward in this. It says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed." You see, God set it up that we're supposed to go to him for forgiveness, but we go to each other for healing. Now, don't get it twisted. Healing comes directly from God, but he uses people and connections for the healing process. We are the hands and the feet of Christ. And connect groups provide the opportunity for that to happen. You see, it's the process and our obedience that allows the healing to take place. And connect groups are just a platform for that to happen. Which is going to bring us to our second point. Pastor Gary is going to bring it to you.
Amen. Tag team. God is good. You know, let me ask you something real quick. Have you ever heard a message that really hit home? I mean, I think we've all been there. You walked out fired up. You were convicted, maybe even a little emotional. But by Tuesday, the fire started to cool down a little bit. Well, it's kind of like when you start a diet on Monday, but by Tuesday, you're in the drive-thru asking God to bless you for that double cheeseburger, right? I mean, we forget a little bit. And if I'm honest with you, change is hard, right? I mean, change is difficult. We all crave it, but most of us try to chase it alone. We can push harder and pray louder, but true change means rewiring the brain's autopilot. And through faith, we're not just forging in silence or solitude, but we're forming something greater in his presence. And the amazing truth that we have is that we have to try to figure out or be perfect before things start changing. That's usually the mindset. If I have to be perfect first, I have to go through that. But sometimes just being around others who are leaning and learning and growing helps you take your next steps. You know, I'll be honest with you. There have been seasons when I felt stuck in my faith. There have been moments where I've been unsure of what my next turn or my next step would be. And what helped me most wasn't just my relationship with God, although that was huge, but it was being able to be connected with others, people that I could be honest with and ask for accountability, people that I could lean on, people that I could trust, not because they had it all figured out, but because they were there. And that kind of community became a lifeline. It became someone that I could rely on. And discipleship can start in rows, but it truly comes alive as we engage in circles. And that's exactly what the church lived out in Acts chapter 2. We see in verse 47 that says they didn't wait. It says they didn't wait until they were perfect. They simply showed up, shared life, and grew together. I love what it says in Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, if we think about that, iron sharpens iron because it needs contact. It needs friction. It needs that rubbing effect because it removes the dull edges and makes the blade stronger and sharper. In the same way, our faith needs that type of connection. Without real people who challenge and encourage and walk alongside of us, we don't become the people that God intends us to be. And the difference is, rows are good. And it is awesome that you are here today. It is awesome that you're next to somebody. It's awesome that you're here with your family. It is fantastic. But in a row, we sit, we listen, we take in the truth, and then we leave. And that kind of sharpening that Proverbs is talking about doesn't happen in the row. Circles give you a front row seat. And how many of you love a front row seat during a concert, during a game? You're sitting there in the front row. It's awesome, right? Well, unless you're in a church, then maybe the front row isn't quite the same. We believe God moves in the second row and back. In circles, discipleship is really about getting sharper through honest conversations, real love, accountability, and stretching our faith. Because what starts in a row takes root in a circle. But the thing that we have to really understand is that we have to jump in. Jumping in takes effort. It takes a decision. It takes courage to move from watching to belonging. If you want your life to change, if you want boldness and confidence and peace and purpose, that we have to know how to jump in. We have to know that there's a moment that we have to take that jump, that leap. Because the truth of it is most of us are standing on the edge of the cliff longing for connection, but we're stuck in isolation. Isolation keeps us from surrendering, but connection pulls us forward. It pulls us into that next level that God wants us to be. In circles, we don't just share the Sunday version of ourselves. We share the real stuff, the struggles, the doubts, the places that we may have hid before. And when we bring that into light, freedom brings honesty. And circles create a safe place where healing begins and transformation begins to take a root. 1 Corinthians 11:1 just says, follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus didn't preach all the time. He walked daily with the 12, showing them what the kingdom life looks like in every moment. They saw how he handled interruptions. They watched how he loved through difficult people. And they heard how he prayed when he was weary. People don't just need to hear what faith sounds like on Sunday. They need to see what faith looks like on Tuesday. In circles, we learn how to live out our faith in the real world. Matthew 28:19 just says, go and make disciples. Discipleship becomes relational, not just instructional. Discipleship isn't just about lessons and checking the boxes and just sitting and listening in a row. Discipleship is about stepping into a real relationship that faith gets lived out together. It's the honest and messy and authentic moments that we begin to grow stronger and sharper and to be more like Jesus. When everyday people, and some of you are everyday, some of you aren't, but when everyday people, you and me, answer God's call and walk side by side, discipleship spreads. It catches fire. And that's how the church truly grows, not just in numbers, but in real depth and lasting impact. Because that's what God has called us to do, to live in a circle, not just in the row.
So far we've got connection, discipleship, and number three is protection. I like to call this know, grow, and sow. Protection allows us to sow into other people. Protection is actually God's design. From the very beginning, God set it up that we care for one another. The first thing he did for Adam was give him a job, something to care for. And even in relationship, they were to care for each other. And that has never changed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the body of Christ. Starting in verse 21, it says, "The eye can never say to the hand that I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet that I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and the least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts that we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with the greatest care. And so we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony amongst the members, so that all the members care for each other, and if one part suffer, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad." I've said that if we are truly connected the way that we are supposed to be, if we are truly a part of the body of Christ and the church was doing what it was supposed to do, there would never be a single need in our community of faith that is not met. We would be so in tune and so connected and so aware of what our people are going through, the people that we are living life with, that there wouldn't be any needs. Nobody would go without groceries. Nobody would have a light bill that you know needs to be paid. They wouldn't have work on the farm that needed to be done. There's ways that we protect each other and care for each other and provide for each other. That's the way God set it up. We are supposed to care for the body of Christ, no matter how significant or insignificant we think it is. You might think that little pinky toe is insignificant till you knock that sucker on a coffee table about 2 a.m. And then you'll realize how important that thing is, because it hurts. You know, but if one part suffers, we all suffer. We should never have a part of the body of Christ suffer. We should care for it, protect it, and honor it. Amen? One of the best examples of this comes from Mark chapter 2, the paralyzed man. When Jesus was returning from Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside of the door. And while he was preaching God's word to them, 4 men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole in the roof above his head, and then they lowered the man down on his mat right in front of Jesus. This picture of 4 men carrying a guy. Now, the backstory of this isn't very clear. The paralyzed man, we don't know how long he was paralyzed. We don't know how it happened. But what we do see is he had at least 4 friends that cared enough to do something about it. One friend in particular was probably like, "Hey, I've been looking for a way to help you. And there's this guy I know. His name is Jesus." I mean, this isn't biblical, so this is just kind of an interpretation. But this guy was probably looking for a way. However, when he heard about this guy named Jesus, he thought, I know this guy can heal you. We just have to get you there. Now, the paralyzed man couldn't do it on his own. Amen? So he had to have some friends. He had to have some help. And they picked up 4 corners of this mat, and they carried him. We don't know how far. Could have been a block. It could have been from the other side of the city. It could have been from another town. It's not clear, but what we do know is that these 4 men went to any extreme they needed to. They did whatever it took and what it was necessary to get their friend to Jesus. Can we say the same about us? What have we done for a friend? How far are we willing to go? What have friends done for us? How far have they been willing to go? And if we can't answer that honestly and say that we've done everything necessary to get our friends to Jesus, then we need to step it up. Amen? Life is hard. And eventually we're going to need a group of people that's going to be able to carry us when we can't walk it out. Life is going to throw you something. Sometimes it's clear, and you see it coming. Sometimes it's completely unexpected. And I've been paralyzed by some situations in my lifetime that I've needed people to help carry me through. And you do too. And the last point is community meets needs. Acts 2:44 says, "And all the believers met together in one place. They shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved." Again, if the church was doing what it was supposed to do, there wouldn't be a need that wouldn't be met. I'm not saying you need to go and sell everything you own and give it to the church. That's not what it's about. It's the principle that we should be taking care of our own people. We should be able to take care of the people that are outside of the church, that don't attend. Our resources should be overflowing from the blessings of God. And the people that see that, they're being drawn to that. The Bible says that they were being added to daily. People, it's contagious. When they see needs being met, when they see people living in harmony, when they see no more fighting, I mean, you got to think, if you truly stop and start to connect with someone that maybe you don't know, you'll probably find that you agree on more than you disagree. We just have to take the step. And so I'm telling you guys, connect groups are vital in every aspect of our life. And that's going to bring us to our next point.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you. Point number four is you're within reach to make a difference. And I think all of us in this room today probably in some fashion would like to say, yeah, I'd like to make a difference. Many of you have probably have walked away from a gathering, a meeting, a family event, a social event, and you said, man, I wish I could have done more. I wish I could have made a difference. It's those times sometimes that if we're honest, we question our spiritual maturity. Am I really growing? Am I even qualified to make an impact? But the truth of the matter is that real maturity is not just measured by what you know, but it's measured by how you move. It's not just about what God is doing in you, but it's about what he is doing through you. How is God using you? How is he using you to ways that can impact those that Mike was talking about? See, that's what I want to come back to just real quick about Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:22 is whatever person is like, I try to find that common ground so he will let me tell them about Christ and Christ can save him. Paul wasn't just preaching truth. He was positioning his life to reach people. He didn't wait for perfect people or perfect circumstances. He just reached out because connection is the gateway to transformation. And that's exactly what connect groups do. They give us a real place to connect so lives can be changed. We want to be able to see lives change, to be able to be discipled, right? But to be able to grow. And God's given us that opportunity. See, Paul was flexible without compromising the truth. He adjusted his method, but not his message, because he understood this simple but powerful truth. If I don't reach them, who will? And that's the question you and I are being invited to ask. Not just what am I learning, but who am I reaching? Because God changes lives through sermons, and it's been incredible. And Pastor Ryan has laid out the foundation of many different things, and we've been truly and totally blessed. God changes lives through sermons, but he cements that change in relationships. And that's what connect groups are all about. It's not just Bible studies or hangouts. They're a strategy. They are a kingdom strategy for making a difference. And that's where discipleship moves from information that you receive in a row to transformation that begins to happen in a circle. That's where faith becomes personal and purposeful. Because in a group, you start to realize that you're not alone. That you're not the only one who's struggling. You're not the only one that's learning. You're not the only one that's growing. You're in a circle of people who see you and they see your walk. You learn from others. You get challenged. But you also realize that you can be a difference maker in someone else's life. Your story, your pain, your progress, your personality, it's not random, but rather it's preparation. God is beginning to shape you, not just for survival, but he's beginning to shape you for significance. And Jesus wants you to take that story and use it to bridge to someone else's breakthrough. I think it's incredible when we have the opportunity to be able to be a part of someone's life and to be able to help them have a breakthrough, to be able to celebrate with them, to be able to encourage them, to be able to help them. Does that help? Does that happen outside of Connect groups? 100%. And it should. But there is a process that God is trying to use with Connect groups to be able to be connected. Because we can't underestimate the power of common ground. It's rarely convenient. It means listening when you're tired. And if you're in a relationship with your spouse, you understand it's tough sometimes to be listening when you're tired, right? It means listening when you're tired, being patient with people who stretch you. That's tough, right? If you're a leader in a Connect group and someone comes over and says it's too hot, it's too cold, and you're constantly moving the thermostat up and down, they're asking you what kind of food, do you have any other kind of food, and they've already ate everything. You're like, man, this leadership thing, it's tough. It's where transformation happens. Showing up when it's easier to stay home. Being in an environment that allows relationships to grow. And isn't it exactly what Jesus modeled? He didn't say stay safe. Be comfortable. He stepped into our mess. That's what Jesus did. He sat at our tables. He walked with sinners. He wept with the broken. He entered people's stories and he brought hope. And the truth today is that he's still doing it. And he's doing it through you. You are his strategy. You are his plan to reach others. You are being prepared not just to believe in the gospel, but you are prepared to be the gospel. You see, the ripple effect on the edge of the cliff that I talked about before when we had to make that jump. You see, you are the rock. Just one life, just one conversation, just one step of obedience. But when you jump, when you drop this rock into God's hand, when you drop the opportunity that God's given you and you drop it into his hands, watch what happens. See, you may not always see it, but your faith creates a ripple effect. When the tsunami hit in Russia a few weeks ago, and there was warnings going on in Hawaii, and there's warnings going on in California, and so far in Alaska, and all of those places, they didn't see the effect of the tsunami yet. They didn't see the waves coming crashing in. It took time. But the ripple effect, one group, one story, one person reached, and it spreads. That's the power of showing up. That's the power of community. You don't have to be the whole wave. You just have to be the person that drops something. Allow the ripple effect to begin, and it starts. And so maybe the question today isn't about, God, what are you doing in me? Maybe it's, God, who are you preparing me to reach? See, I believe that there's an empty chair here today because someone hasn't been reached. Somebody hasn't been connected. Somebody hasn't yet stood and saw the ripple effect of what God is doing in your life. And that ripple effect that goes out when you go to work on Monday morning and you want to be an impact, and that people haven't maybe seen it yet. But God's preparing you. There's a seat here this morning that God's preparing for you to have a connection with somebody else. Because God is preparing you to reach, to make a difference. And I believe that opportunity that God puts before us is in that Connect group. Because when you get into a Connect group, you begin to do what? You begin to share. I have so-and-so at work. I want to be able to reach them. I want to be able to talk with them about Jesus. I want to be the gospel to them. I want to share what God's doing in my life. Because your yes to community might just be the reason that someone else says yes to Jesus. And I think that's an incredible thing for us to end on this morning, is to understand that there is a reason for you to be in a Connect group. There's a reason for you to fill that row. But there's a reason for you to be in that circle. And as we close today, it's easy to think that growth is just about sitting in a row on Sunday. But real growth happens when we let down our walls and we invite others in. When we're honest, when we're open, when we're accountable with others, that's when faith stops being something that we just hear and becomes something that we live out. So what's the one small step that you can take this week? Think about your own life. Who are the people that you walk with every day? Who knows your story? Who knows your faith story beyond a Sunday morning crowd? Maybe it's finding where your circle is, reaching out to a friend, or simply being real with someone about who you really are. Remember, it's in those honest and shared steps and real conversations and struggles and encouragement that real transformation takes place. And maybe you're coming on Sundays for a while, but you feel unseen. Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you're hungry for deeper faith, real support, meaningful challenges. Maybe you've been praying for people who will carry you, challenge you, celebrate with you. If that's today, if that's you, today's your moment. And if you haven't yet made Jesus the king of your life, the center of your life, and you want to be able to make that decision today, today is that day. Because everything that we've talked about, growth, community, transformation, discipleship, all starts with following Jesus. So if you want to begin that journey today, if you want to allow God to be a part of your life, if you're ready to say, Jesus, I need for you to be my Lord and Savior. As Pastor has said, that we're going to say a prayer, and we're going to say it together. And if that's you today, there's a lot of different ways that you can do this, but we need to know. Because now you become part of a connect group, and that is a body of believers. And we are here to encourage you and challenge you and help you in your walk with God, to allow you to be that person that God's created. So will you bow your heads with me and let's pray together as a church. Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and need forgiveness. I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for my sins. Right now, I confess you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. Be my Lord, my God, my King, and my Savior. All of me for all of you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's you today, I am excited for you. I am excited that you are growing and taking that step of faith. It's incredible. See, growth doesn't come from sitting on the sidelines. It comes from stepping in, being known, and walking alongside of others. It's one of the greatest things about the football season that's beginning. Guys are trying to get off the sidelines. They're trying to be able to get on the field. They don't want to get cut. They want to be part of a team. And God wants you to be a part of his team. And he wants you to be able to grow, and he wants you to be able to connect, and he wants you to be in a circle. It's one of the greatest things that he offers. Another thing that he offers is about being a Bronco fan. He loves for you to be a Bronco fan. If God wasn't a Bronco fan, why are sunsets orange and blue? I'm just saying that. No more waiting for the perfect time. No more watching from the back, but it's time to belong. Let's be the church that doesn't just gather on Sundays, but let's be the church that grows together every day. Let's build something real, something that's lasting, and let's build it together. Allow our faith and our story to have a ripple effect that doesn't just last in a row, but it becomes part of your circle. Let's stand and worship our King.